I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to like break and eat after that amazing prayer by this young lady over here, whoever that was on the keyboard. Like, that was church right there. If you can just accept that prayer, believe it, and walk away from it, like, we could just party after that and go home. Seriously. Thank you so much for that. That was a blessing. Yeah, we're super excited to be here this morning. This is a tremendous blessing for us to bring all of our guys and come join you here this morning across town. We do travel a lot. And it's just great to be in town. Sometimes we're in faraway places, but it's great to be here with you today. My name is Nate Gehrig. I am the outreach coordinator at the Adult and Teen Challenge Center in Airway Heights. I've been working there since June, and it's been a journey since I've been there. It's been very rewarding and very challenging all at the same time. And I don't know if you've heard about us before, but we're going to talk a little bit about who we are, what we do. And we're also going to share some testimonies this morning and share what God is doing in our lives. And we're going to praise him together. So I hope that you get something out of this. You learn about who we are, but you're also encouraged by what God is doing all over the place. Because we have guys in our program from all over. So who we are. We are called Adult and Teen Challenge. Now, formally, we were called Teen Challenge. Some of you are probably familiar with that name, but our name actually changed to Adult and Teen Challenge. And the reason why is, as you see these guys, we're not bringing any kids through the doors. We got men here. Young men, old men, all ages of men. Our youngest guy, I think, right now is 19? Is anybody 20? 18 is our youngest, and our oldest right now, how old? 46. So there's the age range right there, and we got guys from all over the country. One of the guys that just walked out of here to go to the bathroom is from Wilmington, Vermont. Delaware, sorry. We didn't hear that. Delaware. Recently, we've had a couple guys from New Orleans. We've had guys from Colorado right now. We have guys from California, all over the place. A lot of guys from Washington, but men find their way to our center from all over the country. And you maybe ask yourself, well, what do we do there? We are a Christian-based, Christ-centered recovery program. But most recently, what I've been hearing even out of our leadership is, don't forget, we're a discipleship program first. So really, we tackle addiction from a spiritual perspective. We tackle addiction through Christ. And it's a farm. It's roughly 33 acres out in Airway Heights, and on this farm we do have some chickens, but that is about as farmy as you're going to get. We did have a pig, but we got rid of him. I don't know if he's baking right now or what he's doing, but we had a pig at one point, and we do grow some pumpkins there because we do sell pumpkins in the fall. Right now it looks like a snow park. There's literally snow everywhere, and here they are. Come on in, guys. So we have lots of snow, and once again, I'm from Eugene, Oregon, so that's new to me personally, just the amount of snow and how cold it is. But it's a fun place, it's a hard place, it's an exciting place, and there's a whole lot of challenges and a whole lot of reward there in that center. And there's a lot that goes on a day-to-day basis, minute by minute, really. It's a pretty unbelievable place, and I'm learning about it daily. So roughly right now, we have almost 30 guys. I think we have 28. And they live in a dormitory. They eat meals together. They have chapel together every day. And if you don't know what the day might look like for them, how it's going to start is it starts pretty early in the morning. We have breakfast at 6 o'clock, and all the guys are required to be there. After breakfast, they have time in the classroom where they do classwork. After that, we have a work call. And these guys are going out into businesses in the community, and they're doing work. You've probably seen our thrift stores. We have two thrift stores in town. And most of the people that know Adult and Teen Challenge know us by those thrift stores. Like, oh yeah, I know Teen Challenge. I just bought a shirt there last week. Okay. Yes, that's part of what we do, but that's not the ministry of Teen Challenge. So two thrift stores in town, and we do have Bob here from one of our thrift stores who's going to briefly speak at the end. But we have two thrift stores in town, and our students help work those thrift stores during the day. We also work at Cyrus O'Leary Pie Factory. You guys know Cyrus O'Leary's? Our guys pump out thousands of pies every day. They're working in that factory, that pie shop. We also have the DAA auto auction, where we're helping work cars and detail them and run them through the company there for the guys working that at the auto auction. And we also have a lawn crew where they do yard work, stuff like that, cleaning up leaves and working in yards. So those are the work sites that we have. We also have a couple guys that stay on site and help around the grounds because there's a lot to do there. Once again, with the guys that come into our program, some of these men are married. Some of these men have kids. Some of them are single, but they have families at home. Some of them have been living on the streets. Some of them, they come from all different swaths of life. And you can imagine the challenge. Me being a husband and a father, being taken from my kids for a year, because we do have a year-long program, that would be very, very challenging. So you can see the obstacles they face as they come into our doors and say, I'm at the end of my rope, or I need help, I need to do this. And there's many obstacles that are going to come in their way, whether it's missing friends, whether it's missing family, whether it's feeling responsibility to be at home. Could you imagine the responsibility of needing to be somewhere but knowing your God has placed you in that place? Super challenging, but God is doing amazing work. We have success stories every day. Sometimes it's making it through the day. Sometimes making it through the day and going to bed and saying, thank you, Jesus, for today. I got through today. Sometimes we see guys for a week. Sometimes we see them for 2 weeks. Sometimes we see them for one day, and we have an opportunity to be Christ, maybe just for a small segment of time, and they leave and we never see them again. We just had an individual who was in our doors who fell asleep. He broke into a place, a business in town. He fell asleep on their floor. They brought him to us. We saw him for 2 days and he was gone. I have no idea where he's at. But I hope in that short amount of time, we represented Christ well. Because that's the opportunity we have. Some guys are heartbreaking. And then some guys are success stories. I drove over to Forks, Washington earlier this year and visited a young man who had a wife and a couple of kids at home. And he spent a whole year at our facility. And now he's back in his community, back in his home, being the husband and father and the community member that he's called to be. And he's active in his church. Those are the things that we get to be a part of, all of it, just like you. No doubt, Jim, you see people come and go. No doubt you help people at the end of the day hope that Jesus shine through in their day, and you may see him for a short period of time, or you may get him for 30 years. It's no different. And one question I've had to ask myself as I travel around, I go, why does Ching Challenge exist? Why? Because if I believe in the Jesus that I believe, all-powerful, supernatural God that can clean and cleanse and heal all those things, why do we exist? Because if the local church is active and alive and working in that same power, are they not equipped to handle the same individuals that we deal with? And so I've had to ask myself that question, why do we exist? And it's the same question you have to ask this church as to why you exist. And I've come to one conclusion, and I feel the Lord's led me to this, is sometimes people have to get away from their environment in which they're in, because that environment has caused a lot of the pain and issues in their life. And Christ is big enough, but sometimes that place, that environment, and that surrounding is what they need to get through and experience Christ in a very real way. Does that make sense? So that is why we exist. I got a young man I want to bring up here named Kenny. Come on up, Kenny. Kenny's a success story. Tell him how old you are, Kenny.
I am 42 years old. I'm from Everett, Washington.
Tell him how many kids you have.
Zero.
Okay, there you go. All right. Tell him your story. Tell him about how you came to Teen Challenge and what God's doing.
Okay, so about 6 months ago, I gave up on life. I was drinking myself away. And I was such in a dark hole. Brother's wife, son of the pastor, and they told me about the adult teen challenge. I went to a detox place, and it worked for about 17 days, and I moved in with my brother, which he has an addiction to, but
but he was hiding it from his wife, and it just got me back into it. I was good. I had a job. I was working, and then that alcoholism grabbed me. And so my morning, this is how my day, I would wake up at like 6 in the morning. I'd walk down the store, go grab me 2 beers. I'd grab me a fifth. I'd pass out, wake up, pass out. I just gave up. And so they told me about Dolce Challenge. I came here. I was so bad and detoxing that they took me to this place where you go in. Before you go into detox, you go into this place. It was so horrible that I just said, okay. I called Tyson. I called Tyson the next day. I said, come get me. I'm ready. If I was going to have a seizure from it, I was going to deal with it. And so what Adult Teen Challenge taught me was is not to be afraid to share your feelings. And that's what I was doing. I was drinking my feelings away. It made me realize that there is light on the other side of that tunnel. Because I was like a cockroach. When I saw that light, I would hide. And like it says in Luke 8:16, why hide your light and put it in a clay jar? Why not put it on a stool? So that's what it's doing, Teen Challenge. It's making me put on a pedestal. And so my goal when I leave here is I want to give back what Adult Teen Challenge gave me. I'm thinking possibly internship. And then I want to go to school and help with troubled teens. And so that's my story. There's more, but I'm kind of nervous right now. So, and just sharing my feelings like I'm doing with you guys. 6 months ago, I was on a couch just drinking myself away. Thank you.
There's always more to the story, isn't there? I mean, we could all say that. There's always more to the story. The day in and the day out, the struggle, the things you go through are very real. But I want to tell you about Kenny. I remember the first day he came in. I was there on that Sunday morning. We shared the gospel with him. He goes, I believe. He left overnight to a detox facility. He came back. And since that time, I've seen a different man. It was almost overnight, and it's been incredible. Now, through that process, we got to ride in the van the other day, and he was sharing some things with me. And now we get to do the discipleship process. Amen. Now we get to spend time together, and he gets to share his feelings, go, I don't understand this. This is what's getting at me. I'm like, it's all right. Jesus knows. But sometimes you need somebody, don't you, that goes, I understand. And so it's been an incredible journey to watch Kenny grow, to watch him just flourish. And he's a real responsible guy. He does a lot of our cooking at the center. We don't have a cook, so the students take on the cooking. Him and a couple other guys do a majority of the cooking on a week-to-week basis, and they do a great job.
Now let's give it to the other cooks. Can you please stand up and give these guys a hand?
We're getting a shout-out to the cooks.
It's a chore.
Cooks, there we go. Thanks, Kenny. You know, the thing about the Bible, and these guys do Bible studies, they're in the classroom every day. But sometimes when you're so into the details of the scripture, you forget about what it's really all about. Like if somebody came along and said, hey, what is the story of Rocky all about? You know, you've seen the movie. What's it all about? Is it about a guy hitting a piece of meat in a cooler? Or what's it all about? And I think when I thought about our time this morning, I really wanted to emphasize what it's all about. And I really think the Bible's about redemption, isn't it? It's about how a loving God, not an angry, mean, a loving God, set out to take back and correct all that went wrong because of sin. Isn't that the story? Amen. Somebody asked you, what's the Bible about? He did this through the giving of his son. It was sacrificial in nature. It cost something for our sake and our benefit. I want you to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is speaking here on God's behalf. And starting in verse 4, I want to just read three verses here that are so important for us to understand as children of God. Chapter 1, verse 4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Amen. Amen. Done story, right? It's that redemptive work of Christ that changes everything for us. It's not me striving. It's not me working. It's not me getting clean first. No, it's understanding this love and accepting this love relationship that is freely given and allowing that to take hold and change me. It's the Spirit of God alive in us and at work. Listen, we didn't deserve it, and it's not our story, but it's his. Truth is, we've all messed up in many ways, and we all needed a Savior, someone to intervene on our behalf. How we all ended up here today is unique. Each one of us is unique. But we rejoice most of all because we are his and because we are redeemed because of Christ. This is important because it means something. What it means is our entire future has changed because of Christ. Each one of us, our future has changed. Look, I'm going to take you over to chapter 2. Because in chapter 2 of Ephesians, Paul keeps going here. Chapter 2, verse 8. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Do you see that? There's a future attached to that. There's an eternal future, we know, but there's also good works that are going to be done. But he gets things right. He's like, you're not saved because of your works. You're not saved because you showed up and did a whole lot better. No, you're saved by grace. Jesus bought that for you. Now you walk in that. Now the works are going to come out of you naturally as his Spirit does the work in you. And there's future there. What you heard in Kenny's story was there was no future before. But that's each one of our stories before we came to Christ. I don't care what you were doing. Maybe you weren't drinking yourself to death. Maybe you were living for your job. I don't know. But it's all of our stories. It's the redemptive story of Christ. I want to bring up Ryan. Come on up, Ryan. I've had to tell Ryan to shorten his testimony because we could probably listen to him talk for 30 minutes and you'd all be crying by the end of it.
Good morning.
And it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying this guy's testimony is incredible. I've heard it. And so he's going to give you the condensed version of what we're talking about here, the redemptive work of Christ in his life. Go for it, Ryan.
All right. Good morning, church. So I'm Ryan. I'm 32 years old. And let me start off by I have a beautiful fiance, and I have four kids. She has three kids from a previous marriage, and we have one together. And it's a blessing that they're in my life. They mean the most to me, second to God. But before them, before Teen Challenge, before God, the only thing that mattered to me was my next high, my next fix, my, my next, where I'm getting my next fix at. And it wasn't so much what I was addicted to as the drugs. It was just anything to alter my mind, hiding from reality, hiding from myself, bills, financials, anything, just being responsible, hiding from them responsibilities. And it kind of stemmed from my childhood. Like I was raised by a single mother that was very young when she had me, and drugs were socially accepted in my family. So that's what I was raised around. So I didn't know any better. So by the age of 20, I'm committing crimes to get money, to get high, to go to jail, to go to prison, to get out. To that was the cycle. Jails, getting high, jail, getting high. And the worst part about it is I felt safe in jail. That was my safe haven. I didn't have to worry about responsibilities. I didn't have to worry about bills, anything like that. And I felt safe there. You don't share your feelings in jail because it's a sign of weakness. You know, you got to be a hard guy or whatever. But that's where I felt safe at. So that was my whole 20s. Late 20s, I met Amanda, and she got pregnant, and we decided to have a kid. And I was kind of relieved. I'm like, you know, maybe a kid, a family, that'll straighten me up. That will get me away from this addiction. Man, I was in bondage. I was a slave because it did not straighten me up at all. It actually made things worse. When Ava came, there was more responsibilities, more stress, more just want to pull my hair out and run. So that's what I did. Packed my bags and ran. Left my family and, you know, just left. I've been running my whole life from my feelings and everything. So about a year later after running, my kid's born. I'm not talking to my kid, anything like that. I find myself 3 hours north in a cemetery at 6 o'clock in the morning, talking to a headstone. The guy was named Albert. He's 32 years old, and I'm asking him what's death like. 6 in the morning, out of my mind, and I'm thinking that's the way out, right? I have a gun in my waistband. Well, why not? I believe Christ met me in that cemetery that day. Something came over me. I got up, and I bolted to the street. And an off-duty cop that has arrested me in the past, seen me in his own personal rig, made me get in his car and brought me to his own personal house, fed me, bathed me, clothed me. And we found Teen Challenge. And I tried everything else. I tried secular rehabs. I've tried prison. Why not, right? Let me give my life to Christ. I wasn't a religious man. It's not that I didn't believe. It's that I did not believe, you know? So why not? Let me give it a shot. Tried everything. Since giving my life to Christ and coming to Teen Challenge, I've reunited reunited with my family. I have my kids calling me, asking me for help. I'm a leader to my family again. They come and see me every Saturday. It's a blessing. We're quoting scriptures together. We're doing Bible studies. It's a beautiful thing. I'm almost speechless trying to talk about it because I don't know how to put it in words. It's way bigger than me, anything. It's God. It's God's miracle working in me. It's a beautiful thing, and that's a little bit of my testimony. So I've been in the program 7 months. And it's just, as the days progress, I'm just getting stronger in my walk. I'm a new creation in Christ, and, you know, I'm loving every day of it.
Awesome. No. Thanks, Ryan.
No, thank you.
Ryan can't wait to get married. It's one of the topics of conversation we get to talk about, and just what that's going to look like. So we're excited for him and what his future looks like. What God has in store for him. But he's got this beautiful daughter, and recently she had this cast like over both of her legs, and she was like waddling around, and she got that off, and it was just cool to see it. So just awesome to see his family and what the future holds for Ryan. And you know, he's had some challenging moments and moments that he didn't think he could make it, and he's still here. And I'm thankful that God still got a hold of him and still working in his life. Powerful stuff. Now, really, when we talk about the redemptive work of Christ and what God has done for us, the question always comes up, why? Why would he do that? Why would he send a son down for broken, messed up, messy, sinful people that are deceptive and don't understand and do things that he's displeased with? Why? Why would he do that for us? It's love. In John 3:16, John clearly says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son." It was really that clear. Sometimes we make it more messy than that. We think we just got to do all the right stuff. But he's like, "No, listen, I love you. I've got it all in place for you." You know, I was walking with my son. I got three boys. My youngest son the other day in the snow, and we got like 2 feet of snow behind our house, and that's amazing for us. We're like, you know, playing in it, and there's these little hills back there. So he's got this little snowboard, and I got my snowboard, and we go walking back there, and we're playing around in the snow on these little hills, and we're starting to come back, and he's getting tired, man. He's whooped. You know, he's 7 years old, and 2 feet of snow is just hard to walk through, right? And so I see him struggling. I'm like, "Cruz, you got this, man. Just keep walking. You got these." Like, "Dad, I can't do it." And I'm like, "I'm not picking you up, okay? You're out here. You're going to get through this snow." But because I love my son, I recognize that he was really struggling. There's some true struggle there. And so I said, "Cruz, look, just follow my steps." And what I did is I would stomp down the snow in front of me and make a path, right? Make a path for him. So it's a little easier. He still has to do the work. He's still got to follow me, but I'm tromping down that path, right? Isn't that how Jesus comes along? He says, "Just follow me. I'm going to stomp this down for you. Just keep right there on my heels. I got this." See, when we get out in the woods, we start thinking it's about other stuff. Get out in that deep snow. It's like, this is hard. Sometimes the deep stuff is all we know. Like Ryan. It's like, "Dang, man, is life really this tough that I got to be walking in this deep of snow all the time?" So we give it over to a Savior and go, "Okay, Lord, I can't handle this. You got this. I'm going to stay right on your heels." Not always that easy to do, but it's the truth if he leads us in that. He loves us. So John, in John 3:16, he says, "Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Now listen, John was a guy that spent a lot of time with Jesus. He watched his miracles. He watched his healing. He saw him casting out demons. He saw him preaching and teaching. He saw the suffering that Jesus went through. Saw it all. He saw him raised from the dead. He saw his ascension into heaven. He saw all that stuff. He watched Jesus weep and mourn. And at the end of his life, John is alone. He's on an island, and he's alone. He's one of the last disciples to actually make it. Everybody else has been killed off. And in his pondering, in his time with the Lord, when he's alone, it comes down to one thing for John. Listen, he's seen it all with Jesus. He's been right beside him. And as he's writing his letters, as he's writing those words in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, it comes down to one thing for John in his reflection. It's love. If you open up to 1 John 4, I want you to read these words. First John 4:10. And I would encourage you, because if you got time this afternoon, I'm sure you do, it's a Sunday. There's a lot of snow, and I'm sure most of you don't have to work. But I'm just saying, if you have time, I'm not trying to convict you, but if you have time, I would encourage you to read the book of 1 John. And you're going to see the theme of the words that are written in this book. And you're going to see this theme of Scripture coming out, the gospel message. But in 1 John 4, verse 10, John, speaking here, he says, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us first and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." He recognizes that I don't create love on my own. It's not my job. It's a simple response to God's love for me. And out of that response, I get to live and move and have my being in that Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Nate Lohman is a guy I've been watching. He's coming up here now. Come on up, Nate. This is a young man that I've been watching since I got here. Just keep watching him. Not in a bad way.
No, I know.
Just watching, but I notice things about Nate that are super encouraging, and sometimes my heart goes out to him. And I'm just like, Lord, you got to help Nate today. Just because I know what he's going through. And God's doing an amazing work in his life, and we got to talk a little bit this morning about that. But I wanted him to just come up and share briefly a little bit of his story. Go ahead, Nate.
Okay, I'm Nate. I'm from Everett, like the Everett, Seattle area. I came to Teen Challenge about 7 months ago. Before that, I ended up with a really bad methamphetamine and heroin addiction. But even before that, it all started with pills. I got in a car accident and got addicted to prescription painkillers. Was going to church, though, attending church regularly. And in the midst of all that, still taking pills and just kind of in the grips of this addiction and this bondage. And it came out in a way. I ended up stealing something from someone at the church. And my pastor was like, look, you have an issue. You have a problem. We need to get you help. Why don't we go down to the Seattle Men's Center, which is the Teen Challenge out there, and we'll go there, and you know, we'll walk with you through this, and we'll be there for you and everything. So they take me down there. I do the interview, see the campus there, leave, and they scheduled to drive me back down there later. It was like a week later. And so they drove me back down there. One of the pastors took time to do that. And I got down there, was doing the intake process. They had my dirty laundry and stuff. They're all, like, washing it, just being super nice, making me sandwiches and just loving on me. And I was like, you know what, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. I have a girlfriend at the time, and I have my kids and stuff. And I had all these excuses and all these reasons why I couldn't do this or didn't want to do this. And so they drove me back. And from that moment, I kind of left the church, and everything just kind of spiraled out of control slowly but surely. Within probably a good 8 months, I found myself going from the pill addiction to the methamphetamine addiction from hanging out with people who I used to party with. And then from the methamphetamines, when I couldn't get pills and stuff like that, I ended up using heroin and ended up with this massive heroin addiction. And so my life just got worse and worse and worse. And then I found myself at one point breaking into someone's apartment, getting in trouble with the police and stuff, going to prison. Sat in jail for about 7 months, then finished the rest of my sentence out in prison, got out of prison, was out for less than 24 hours, and already found, because they release you with like $40 gate money and stuff, and I used that to go get high on meth and heroin. So I caught a violation. They sent me back to jail, got out, was okay for a couple months, but still kind of actively using and just trying to just pee and clean here and there. Got my DOC revoked. They sent me back to prison, finished out my sentence. When I got out, I was able to make it 6 days on my own, not getting high. And then I got high, and I realized that I had a massive issue, and I needed help. I finally got to that point where everyone else had seen the problem in my life, but I couldn't see the problem. Everyone else is saying, you need help, and you need to deal with this issue. And I was like, no, I don't. I finally got to that point where I was like, I really do need help. So I called, started calling around to Teen Challenges, and I talked to Tyson, who's the intake coordinator for this one, and he was like, yeah, if you get out here, he's like, you know, you just get out here, because I told him I have no money, I have the jacket on my back, and that's it, like, I have nothing at all. And so he's like, just get out here. And I talked to my mom, and she didn't want to give me any money for, like, a bus ticket or a train ticket, because I had manipulated her so many times for money to get drugs. But she finally was like, yeah, I'll give you the $50 for the bus ticket, and this is it. And so I get out to Teen Challenge, and I remember getting there and just not realizing, I guess, how far I had really fallen. Because the first night there, like, I laid down in a bed, and it was just like, wow, this is like a real bed. It's not a jail mattress. It's not, you know, a couch with some friend. It's not some shelter bed somewhere, but it's an actual real bed with a real blanket. This is kind of intense, you know? And it was in that moment that it really hit me that I'd really fallen so far from who I was and who I grew up being what I had allowed myself to become by walking in what I wanted to walk in and not really listening to the people who were in my life in a place of authority and allowing them to speak into my life and really accepting that. And so as I've been at Teen Challenge, it's just been a real interesting experience to kind of learn how to walk with God and see the things that he can do in your life as you, like, submit to him and submit to the leadership in your life. it's really absolutely amazing, because that was my big issue more than anything. It was an obedience issue, you know. My heart was a heart of rebellion. I didn't want to hear what those people in authority had to say. I wanted to pretend like I was submitted, but not really submit and walk in what it is that Christ wanted for me. So as I'm here, I get that opportunity on a daily basis really to embrace what it means to be obedient and learn submission to the authority figures in my life. Whether I agree with it or I don't agree with it, it's where I'm at right now. And so I'm learning to be obedient in the small things so that I can be obedient in the larger things later on. So, yeah.
Amen. And Nate's got an opportunity to share. He spoke in our chapel last week, and he did a great job, and God's continuing to use him in that obedience, because we all have to learn that in that process of what it's like to be obedient, even to authority we agree with or disagree with. But I've seen him grow in that. I've really seen him grow, and I'm proud of him for that. And it's all, once again, because God loves you. Like, that authority is his way of loving us well and showing us how to follow him. So anyway, thankful for you, Nate. Good job. Our theme this morning is redemption, because God loved us so much. And just a couple thoughts on practical love as we get ready to close up here. You know, I live in Medical Lake, and there's a certain individual that lives in Medical Lake that walks around Medical Lake. And he's got a staff, and he's got this long coat, and he's got this hat, and he looks interesting. I mean, if you walked in here, you'd all notice him. You'd be like, okay, that's an interesting individual right there. He wouldn't have to say anything. You're just looking at him, go, okay, that guy, see him. But he walks around, and he just talks, and he says stuff. He's quoting scripture, and he's telling about his life, how he makes his own soap and does everything on his own. I'm my own man. I do this. And then he's bringing in scripture, and when you see this guy coming, what you really want to do is put the earmuffs on and start walking the other way. It's like, that is annoying, man. Like, I just got to get away from that. And here's the thing about this guy. Some of what he says is actually true. But you know how the truth comes across? It's like a grating truth. Because it's not seasoned with any love. It's just straight truth. And who can drink that? I mean, if you want to know the truth about me, if I was to lay it all out here, it's disgusting. But that's not how God views me. He's saying, I know all that stuff. Let me show you a better way. So Paul, speaking on God's behalf, talks about this in 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read this chapter, a little bit of it together, because it's an amazing chapter on love. First Corinthians chapter 13, heading is love, and it says, "Now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body into the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." Here's the cool part. Tells us exactly what love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read that, that hurts me. Because I realize where I've fallen short. But that's God's perfect love in my life. That's what he did for me. And as I try to resemble that in my life through the power of his Spirit, I often realize I fall short, but he gives me more chances. He's like, I'm not done with you. Okay, you're going to get more chances. But I want to respond. And so it's almost like in this section, it's like if we get confused what it really means to love, we can go right back to this. That's why we have his word, right? If we ever get confused, I can go back to it. We can ponder our Savior also on what he did for us, how he's been patient and loving towards us. Listen, like I said, I've told you, I got three boys. I love them to death. They're amazing men. Not quite men yet. They're going to be amazing men. They're amazing boys, and I'm so proud of them. Sometimes it's hard to have patience, though. The other day, this happened just yesterday, so I got my boys, and I'm sitting there, and one of them comes in, and he's ticked, man. His brother is listening to music he shouldn't be listening to, and he's going to let me know about it. Dad, he shouldn't be listening to this, man. I go, okay, let me hear the story. What's going on? Oh, he's listening to Eminem out there, and he's shooting baskets. I'm like, okay. Tell me, why are you bringing that knowledge to me? Do you love him? Are you concerned about him, or you just want to get him in trouble? What's your motivation right there? So we had a conversation. Well, Dad, it's not right. I agree. He shouldn't be listening to Eminem. Let's get him in here and let's talk about it. Okay, Eminem was playing. He said he fast-forwarded and went to the next song because he knows what's right. But once you get into the story a little bit more and you start dialoguing, that's where grace lives. That's where truth lives. That's where Christ lives. He loves the truth and he loves grace the same. So it's an opportunity to say, why are you calling somebody else's junk out? Your shirt dirty? Because I got spaghetti sauce all over mine. My point being is, you can call a brother out in love because you truly care. Because you know there's a better way. It's not about doing the right thing all the time. It's a better way. We're following a Savior. So we have to keep that in mind, don't we? Man, we got to keep this in mind. I know what you go through. I got to keep this in mind. You see, Paul was a confused man before Christ. This is the guy that wrote these words, man. He was a confused man before Christ. He actually wanted to destroy the church. He was doing everything in his power to bring it down and stop the redemptive work of Christ. But then he met Christ and was changed. And now this perspective, like John, saved and redeemed by a loving God. Remember John? Spent all that time with Jesus, and what does he say at the end? Man, it's about love. And there's a lot of truth that comes with love, trust me. But it's about love. Same thing with Paul here. Because what he's unpacking right here is before this, they're talking about all the gifts, man. It's like Christmas Day, and God's handing out gifts, and they're ripping these suckers open, and they're using them left to right. And Paul stands up and goes, but these gifts don't mean squat if you don't understand love. Right? It's kind of like on Christmas Day when we open up those gifts and we go, well, wait a second, we got to talk about Jesus because it's about him, right? All these gifts are awesome, but wait, we got to tell the story of Christ, right? Because that's why we celebrate. That's kind of what feels like Paul's doing here. He's unwrapping something. He's bringing it forward and going, man, those gifts God gave you, they're going to be used. They're amazing. They're awesome. However, they can be destructive. The truth can be destructive, dealt in the wrong way. So that's a message for us to own today. Each one of us. Paul was redeemed from an enemy of the cross to a charging crusader for Christ. Why? Because God loved him and showed him a different way. And then he took a whole bunch of junk trying to live that out, didn't he? Like, what are you talking about, Paul? And he was taking it on the chin, and he was going to battle every day, and he was getting scars. And he was proud of those scars. He goes, you got scars? Let me show you mine. But why was he doing that? For love. Remember, he became all things to all people. Why? To win some for Christ. He wasn't proud. He wasn't boasting in his ability. That's what I hope our men leave with. If we can get 30 dudes doing that, watch out. Watch out. Change the world. That's a warrior for Christ. Amen?
Amen?
This church too. You follow your lead pastor in that. He leads that way. You're going to see things happen here. Amen?
Amen?
All right. We got one more guy, Logan, and I'm so proud of Logan. Hmm. He's going to share his testimony, and he's going to play a song. Logan's had some rough days at the center, and he's been there more than once. But God still loves him, and he's got a work he's doing in his life. And he's going to share through his testimony and song, and please just listen. He's going to do a great job. Go for it, Logan.
Hi, I'm Logan Dole. I'm from Plummer, Idaho, 20 years old. My testimony has to do with identity. I grew up in the church, born, raised, baptized, all that jazz. I was a worship leader in our youth group. But my identity wasn't saved. I was leading worship and involved in the church, going on missions trips, but I was totally and utterly lost. I really, when I wasn't with the church folk, I was doing my own thing. I was heavily addicted to amphetamines, alcohol, from an early age. I started drinking when I was 8 and using pills. By the time I was 11, I got carried away with it when I was 14, 15. All this time being involved in the church, not really having any takeaway. I started going to jail, getting in trouble. Family wanted nothing to do with me, breaking into houses, stealing cars, just disregarding everything that Christ had been teaching me up to that point, or had been trying to teach me. I was totally hard-hearted to it. Then I came to Teen Challenge in June of 2015, quite some time ago now. But I showed up there broken, and that's who I was. That was my identity, was broken, lost, and addicted. I had no direction in life. And I gave my life to Christ on June 28th of 2015. I still didn't really understand redemption. I still didn't understand love. But at that point, I wanted to know. And it's been a rough ride trying to learn these things, because I'm a slow learner. I gotta beat my head against that wall before I get really anything figured out. But you know, that's part of grace. Grace is beating your head against that wall, but God's still loving you through that, still walking you through that. And that's part of my identity now, is a grace bearer. Right now I'm trying to learn how to extend that grace to others, purely for this fact that I've been shown so much grace throughout my life. There are times I should have been to prison when I was arrested, but it didn't happen. And that was God's grace on my life. There are times I should have been kicked out of this program, more times than I have been already. But that's God's grace. My identity now is redeemed and loved. I've been covered by the blood. I've been redeemed, and it's just so crazy looking at where I was, growing up, and then where I went to, and where I am now. It is, who I am now is so much different than where I was when I walked through the doors of Teen Challenge a year and a half ago. Totally different person. I was extremely volatile, violent, and angry. A couple of guys here can tell you that. But through that grace, and that love, and that redemption, being covered by the blood, I'm a new man in Christ. I'm just going to do the song now. Mind if I use one of the music stands? If I look nervous, you're wrong. I am extremely anxious right now. Scared stiff. Plus, I'm blind, so. Thank you.
in my heart. I'll sing you songs of praise and glory to you alone. I'll worship you fully abandoned all of my life. You've redeemed me and pulled me out of sin and misery. Spirit, come down, revive my soul and guide my steps. I want to follow you. I so desperately need you here with me. Desperately need you here with me. So cover me with your holy fire.
Once again, we're so grateful to be here with you guys today. Thank you, Jim, for inviting us. Please pray for our ministry if you remember us and what we're doing out there and what God's doing. Please pray. There's practical ways to support us. We have several of our students who are on a sponsorship right now. So if you want to, Logan is one, Kenny's another, Ian, we have another student here, Ian, who you haven't seen. Those three are on a sponsorship program, so you can sponsor them at a certain amount of money. I think it's $35 a month. And you can write them letters and be involved in their life. We invite you to come out if you'd like to volunteer. You can talk to myself about that. If you want to sponsor one of these guys, I'm going to have them back in the back there. You're welcome to talk to them. They've got some literature there. But please keep us in your prayers. And if you ever want to come out and visit, once again, give us a call. We have lunch out there daily. We'd invite you to come out and see where we're at and what we do. So thank you for having us. I'm going to bring Bob up. He wants to just share briefly about the thrift store. Come on up, Bob.
So my name is Bob Griffin. I actually started with Teen Challenge about 2 weeks after Nate And I started out at the men's center as a member of the pastoral care team and switched to running the Valley Teen Challenge thrift store in mid-November. And the reason for that was because I have both ministry and business experience. So I'm pretty partial to these guys. I know half or more of them. And just like Nate, my life is pretty much wrapped up with being involved with the guys. We do three things in support of Teen Challenge out at the thrift store. Number one, we are one of the locations that offers vocational training. So I've got four or five or occasionally six guys in there every day, and they spend a work day there. They do everything that you could imagine that needs to be done in a retail setting. And that's not easy. It's not easy because it's the same thing every day with some variation. Sometimes it is very boring if you are a young adult. But they just keep at it. It's one of those places where discipleship is proven, just like all the rest of us. Most of us live the majority of our waking hours at our workplaces. And that's where we prove who we are. So vocational training. The second thing that we do is we exist to raise finances for the Teen Challenge program. So we work hard at that, sometimes with more success, sometimes with less success. And the third thing that we do is we are engaged with the community. It's a privilege for me to be here because that's part of that engagement. But something else happens often, and that is, the longer I'm there, just as in other places I've worked with an intentional Christian ministry aspect of what's going on, customers start coming in and sharing their stories. I'm in the second round of a story of a woman whose dad just died, for example. She's been in twice in the last few days, just sharing a little bit. And it's a great privilege just to participate in people's lives. Now, here's my invitation and appeal to each of you. Number one, I would invite you to come in and check out our store. We're right there next to Rosar's in the U City Shopping Center. We welcome you. We would welcome your patronage. And to help that along, I've put a stack of coupons. It says 50% off your next order coupons on your information table out there. That's a real 50% does not expire coupon. Take as many as you like for yourself or your work colleagues or family members, and we'd love to have you there. We want to raise as much finance as we can for these guys and what God is doing in their lives. The second thing is, if there are any of you who have particular skills, maybe in the retail area, and you would consider volunteering, spending a few hours a week in the store doing practical training of guys. Here's how you do this. Here's how this works. Here's how you acquire this particular skill that ends up as a bullet point on your resume so that somebody will hire you when you're done with the program. And the third thing that I would appeal and invite you to consider is maybe some of you want to volunteer out there. Every week, 4 hours or something like that. It's an opportunity for a church that is nearby, well anchored in this community, to actually be doing outreach. I worked before in another thrift store as manager. I'm experiencing the same thing here as a thrift store manager. I always get a twofer when I'm working there. One is being with the guys and being there for them, because that's the main reason why I'm there. And the second thing really is being involved with the community. I get to be a chaplain to the people who come in there. That's a great privilege. And that's my invitation to you. But don't forget the coupons. Thanks.
Usually when we close our service, we have a song. But I think we've already had that. Thank you, Logan. Appreciate that. And I would encourage you, the people of New Hope, to stand behind this program. I have my degree in applied psychology. I've worked in secular therapy in different areas and counseling. And secular places do well in behavior modification, but they do absolutely nothing for a person's eternity. This is God-centered, Christ-based, and it first and foremost, it's about you, and it's about God, and it's about what he has, not just here, but for all eternity. And sometimes, I know your difficulties, because I've worked in a program similar to this. The Bible says, when you can do nothing else, stand. Just stand firm. And that's when you lean on your brothers. That's when you lean on the people who are leading you as mentors. They've been called by God for such a time as this. And they're doing it not for a paycheck, although that's kind of nice to have sometimes, but because of the love that God has put in them to raise disciples. One of the last things that Jesus said was go and make disciples. And what I see here, and if you look in the Bible and you look at the apostles, the disciples that Jesus surrounded himself with, was a bunch of ragtag, foul-mouthed fishermen, tax collectors, the riffraff of whatever. You know what? That's who he chose. So when you think that God can't love me, God doesn't know what I've done in the past, look at Paul. Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. Why did he put that in there? So that none of us has an opportunity to say, well, God, I'm way beyond God's love. You're not. And what's awesome is he died while I was still in my sins. He died for me. He chose me at my absolute worst. And he said, I choose to die for him anyway. He's done it for all of us. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you and I pray a blessing, an anointing. Let your spirit reign in Adult and Teen Challenge. Lord, you have people in mind that you haven't even brought into this place yet. But I believe that each person that goes is a divine appointment where they can go and get rid of all of the things that surround them, the circumstances, the whatever it is, so that they can focus on you. Lord, I pray for the leadership of this place. Give them strength, give them grace, give them mercy, because it's not always easy. But help them to see each and every person through your eyes, that each and every person is precious to you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and we ask this in your name. Amen. People of New Hope, we're not going to do an official offering right now, but I've asked the ushers to stand at each one of the doors, so we're charging people to get out today. But no, if you would like to support them and help them, they will be at the doors ready to take that, and God bless you as you go. Thank you.